So last week I was telling you guys that I started golfing again, and you guys remember how I told you I was on that, I think it was hole number 6 at Agate Beach, and I had told Jesse after we were golfing with the pro that gives us free lessons that he always tells me, Jason, just swing it easy, just swing it easy. And I got tired of hearing it, and so when he left, I told Jesse, man, I'm just going to hit this thing as hard as I can do. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to hit it as hard as I can. And I shanked it into that guy's yard, and I bashed into his car, and I almost killed his granddaughter. You remember that story? And it was embarrassing. And the guy came out, and he was obviously upset. And I'm telling you, I thought I was going to get beat up by an 80-year-old. This guy was so mad. And I apologized profusely. And then went golfing again last week, and a funny thing happened last week. Again, I was on that same tee box, and I sneak and hit that ball as hard as I could, and you know what? I hit his car again. The same car. And I'm going to tell you something. That was my exact thought when it happened. Was, really? That's exactly, I thought, Lord, what are the chances? Like, there's trees blocking this guy's house, and I go right between them, and I smack this guy's car twice. And you know what I did? I picked up my clubs, and I just walked off the course. I'm not even lying. I was like, man, I can't go through this again, Lord. I'm finished. Like, I shouldn't even take these clubs away, Lord. Oh my gosh, I couldn't believe it. Like, I just seriously hit the same car, and my thought was exactly that. Really? And so when I left and I was preparing the message, I started thinking about, man, life is a lot like that. How when one thing happens, it seems like another thing's not far away, and it happens again, and it's got you shaking your head like, really? Again? Like, I just got done with this, and now this happens again over here? Are you kidding me? Are you serious? And that's what was happening here with the disciples when we're in Luke chapter 8. It's like they get out of a satanic storm, and now they're running into a satanic, demonic person, and it's just one thing after another where the disciples have got to be asking Jesus the question, really? Like, I just got out of this one storm over here, and now I'm going into this one over here. Do you guys ever feel like that? Like, man, I just got done going through one season in my life that was gnarly. I don't ever want to go through that again. And then it's like, boom, you're right back into another season. You're in another storm, and it just seems like it kind of hits and hits and hits and hits. And what we're going to see is that, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is that it's not always going to be smooth sailing when we're with our Savior, right? It's going to be tough following Jesus, you guys, especially in the season that we're going through right now. There's going to be a lot of difficulties. And we got to ask the question, why? Why are we having to go through one thing after another with the Lord? And you know, when I was roofing, I was a roofing contractor, and I learned how to read the barometer. Do you guys have a barometer at home? And what it does is it measures pressure and in the air to let you know if tomorrow's going to rain or not. It kind of gives you a heads up before anything comes, but it measures pressure. And I'd always check the barometer to see, is the pressure high, is the pressure low, what's tomorrow going to be like? And I started thinking about these storms that we go through with the Lord and how we go through one after another, and they're a barometer to show us how we deal with pressure in our life. How do you deal with pressure? How are you guys doing? Are you struggling? Is it hard? Because we're all under pressure. And you know, sometimes it's that pressure of the storms that test our faith through them, doesn't it? Now, if you know somebody that's had a great life and they've had no issues and they've had no problems and they've just, everything has been how they've marked it out on their calendar, how can you trust a faith that hasn't been tested? How do you know that the faith that you have today will hold up tomorrow if it's never been tested before? Do you have faith that can stand up? So we do need storms as they kind of show us the pressure, how we deal with it, amen? And so, like the Apostle Paul, you remember, he had to go through things over and over again. Didn't he pray three times, take this thorn from me, take this thorn from my side, take this thorn from my side, take this thorn from my side, and God never took it away, and that's why he stopped asking. So by the way, if you're going through a season where you feel like you've got something in your life that you want God to take away and he hasn't given you an answer yet, keep praying that he takes it. You know why Paul stopped asking? Because God gave him an answer. And it was in that answer that later on Paul could say, I joy in my afflictions. That because of what God has gotten me through and he's developed me through, I can say, thank you, Jesus, for all that you've gotten me through. So, you know, sometimes we got to remember that what we learn in the storm about Jesus is that he's faithful, that he's strong, that he's on our team, that he's going to work it out. And so the disciples are going through this season where they go through one storm and they end up in another. And so now, in chapter 8, verse 26, are you guys there? Jesus is teaching these guys how to deal with life, how to deal with storms, because, spoiler alert, in chapter 9, they're going to have to go out on their own without Jesus. Just like we have to go out on our own. I mean, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, but, you know, we're having to learn how to walk this life with Christ. Do you know what I'm saying? We gotta know how to navigate through certain things. And so Jesus is allowing difficulties in their life to teach them how to navigate through life. You guys don't shelter your children from everything, do you? Are you still putting a helmet on them when they go to school? Like, if they go play with their friends or whatever, like, here, wear this helmet. Like, just don't let nothing bad happen. We don't do that to our kids. We let them go out and let them experience things. And so Jesus does the same thing with us so we can learn how to deal with certain things that are going on in our life. So in verse 26, it says, they sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. And when Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in... He kind of reminds me of my grandbabies, kind of. They go around the house just totally butt naked, and they love it. And for a long time, this man had not worn clothes and lived in a house, or lived in a house, but lived amongst the tombs. And so the disciples show up on the scene. They go from one bad situation to another. And you guys got to imagine the scene. They step out of the boat and they're just like, man, thank God I got through that storm. And what's the first thing they see? This guy who's totally satanic. And if I was, I would have been totally freaking out if I would have saw this guy. I mean, think about it. He shows up. He's like all cut up, talking crazy, no panties on. And he's like, hey, how about, you know, we worship the devil and see what happens, right? Let's have a good time. And he's there and he's totally possessed and by the devil. Now, had Luke wrote, and that's when the disciples got in the boat and split, I would have totally related to that. Because that would have freaked me out. I don't know about you guys, but I wouldn't have wanted nothing to do with any of that stuff. Have you ever been in the presence with somebody that's just totally bonkers? Like crazy, scratching, itching, talking, tweaking, right? Rolling around, freaking out. And, but you know what? The thing that we see about these guys is they had confidence in the situation. Why? Because of the situation they had just come out of. You know, God will allow a storm in one place to develop your confidence in another. Right? He'll allow one thing happen to encourage you and equip you and give you confidence. And I think a couple of things that we need to remember is we can't have confidence in ourselves when we're dealing with issues, right? Do you guys, I mean, I don't know, the worst thing that you could do is be like, I got this, I can handle this. Do you ever say that to yourself? Or no, you're just like, man, I don't got this. This isn't working out for me. I need the Lord. But sometimes there's people like, I can get through anything. I'm going to pull myself up on my own bootstraps. No one's ever helped me. I don't need no help. I'm going to do it my own self. We don't want to be in that place. And also, too, we don't want to just like push off when things get rough and say, you know what? I'm not going to deal with anything either. And sometimes we can do that. When things get difficult, we can just hop back in the boat and say, forget this. I'm going to go get high. I'm going to go get drunk. I'm going to go isolate. I'm going to go separate. I'm going to do things my way. Because we have a tendency to want to push off and run into different things. And when we're having difficult situations, we get angry, we smash stuff, break stuff, punch the wall, yell at people, make people that we live with live in hell because we're all messed up. But you know what? We can go through life being confident in the Lord because of everything Jesus has, whatever has made us upset, whatever makes us want to run and hide and go back to the old life that Jesus came out of, you guys need to understand something. We can stay in any moment because of the moments that he's already got us through before, amen? Hasn't God brought you through some things that you never thought you would get through? Where your boat was taken on water, where you were going through winds and waves and all of that and the rain, and you thought, man, this is it, I'm finished, I'm done. And God got you through it over and over and over again. And sometimes we can have a tendency that when things get hard, we want to just hop back in the boat and split and say, I'm not going to deal with this. But the disciples stood there with the Lord in confidence, knowing, hey, he just got us through this, and he's going to get us through this as well. Man, praise God that we can have confidence in the Lord through the midst of COVID, through the midst of this election year, all of this stuff that's going on in your business, making money, our children, our health, all of this stuff. Just take a minute, pause, and think about all that God has already got you through. Do you think he's going to leave you here? No way. No way is God going to leave us here. We can have confidence in the Lord. They've got confidence in the Lord. And we need to too, church. Just raise your hand. Has the Lord brought you through anything in the last 10 years? I mean, gnarly stuff. Yeah. Man, I think sometimes I'll just sit there and I'll think about, man, Lord, when I get nervous, I think, you know, you've brought me through so much. My family through so much. I think about my son-in-laws so much. There's no way that I can't have confidence in you now for all that you've done for me before. The Lord wants us to have confidence in him. And we can. Just look over your pattern of your life. It's there. And so in verse 27, it says, and for a long time this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but he had lived in the tombs. So this guy shows up, the disciples show up, and this guy comes creeping out with nothing on. And obviously, there's more going on with this guy than him just being a nudist and into nature, right? So, like, there's people that this is how they live. They've got nudist camps, and they're hanging out, and they love nature, and they're just, everything's great. But this guy is thoroughly got some gnarly issues. The Bible tells us that he's depressed, that he's demon-possessed. And these demons would get this guy to cut himself, hurt him. These demons would get him to isolate, withdraw from other people. These demons would get him to try to destroy himself. And here's why. Because demons seek to torment mankind. They don't seek to torment mankind. They seek to destroy mankind. Big difference. They're not trying to torment this guy. He's tormented, but they're seeking to destroy him, not torment him. And here, and this is the reason why, is because demons and Satan, whether you're a believer or unbeliever, they hate humanity. They hate humankind. Why? Because we're image bearers of God. We were made in the image of who? So whenever they see the image of God in us, they want to destroy the image that they see. This isn't about torment. This is about total destruction of what they see because they can't stand what they see in us, which is the image of God. We're all made in the image of God, regardless of our color, regardless of our political affiliation. We're made in the image of God. And I kind of think of it like, if you ever had a family where you had brothers and sisters, or maybe you know somebody like this, and in the marriage, the wife couldn't stand the husband. She hates him. And they end up having a child, and that child reminds the mom, let's just say it's the mom, of her husband. She sees so much of the father in that child. And what happens is because the woman hates her husband, she takes it out on her child because that child so much looks like the dad, acts like the dad, or the mom, or maybe it's the father, and he couldn't stand the wife, and so when he sees his child, he sees so much of the mother and the child, and so he takes out his hate and his anger and his frustration on that kid. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's they see the image of the father, the parent, and the child, and so they don't like that, and they treat that child bad. It's the same thing with us. We bear the image of our father, and when demons, when Satan see us, they see that image, and they want to destroy us. And that's why, you know, people playing around with Ouija boards, tarot cards, all of this stuff, you know, that's the stupidest thing you could do. They're looking, there's a demonic force that's not seeking just to make your life miserable. It's looking to destroy your life and that we're in such a way that when anybody would ever look at you or mention your name or hear about you in the future, they would cringe because of what they did to you. Man, thank God that he has delivered us from the hands of the enemy. Thank God that we're not somebody's talking piece, and that we're still here alive and loving and growing and being strengthened and developed by our Lord and Savior who loves us, Jesus Christ. Because I'll tell you what, church, there was a time where I was going off the rails so hard that I would have ended, I promise you, I would have ended up dead, and people would have been talking about that for a long time. They would have known Jason Santoni as the guy who ended up dead by a gnarly way, not a pastor. And I look around and I see our church filled with so many people that God has worked so amazing in. But then I also see other people and they start messing around with this supernatural stuff. And I'm thinking, man, you guys, this is about destruction. But you know what? As Christians, we got the Holy Spirit inside of us, right? There's no possession here because Jesus has taken room and he's not renting none out, okay? So whatever happens out there, but it's not getting inside of here. And so Jesus, when he shows up, the disciples, they're standing with Jesus, they're filled with confidence, and they encounter this guy who's filled with demons. And just two quick side notes, there is demonic activity. There's spiritual forces that things are happening in such a way, you guys, that, I mean, we live in a culture where there's people that are scientific, right? They're into naturalism. They don't believe in anything supernatural. They don't believe in anything spiritual. In fact, any spiritual explanations aren't valid in giving explanations with a lot of the people in our community. They just totally write it off. You guys are crazy. And they'll blame parenting. They'll blame the economy. They'll blame race. They'll blame where you grew up, where you lived, on why things are so messed up. But when you guys look at what's going on in the world today, you have to say, man, there's something more going on than just a kid that wasn't brought up right, broke, and uneducated. Amen. There's an evil happening in our world, right here in Newport, in our community, that is beyond human explanation. It's totally supernatural. But then on the other side, we've got religious people that everything's spiritual, right? Everything's the devil. Oh, this guy, I saw a guy wearing a Joe Biden t-shirt at Walmart. That guy is so of the devil, right? Or I slammed my finger in the door. Man, the devil's so after me. No, he's not. You weren't paying attention, right? You got your finger caught in the door. The guy cuts me off and he hits his brakes. That guy's so possessed. He's so the devil. The devil's just trying to get me angry, right? We get people that are hyper-spiritual. You know what's really sad is when people mistake the Holy Spirit influencing people and it's demonic, actually. You'll see churches where people are rolling around on the floor, barking like a dog, howling at the moon, all of that. This isn't the Holy Spirit. We're made in the image of God, not of animals. And what's sad is when people mistake the Holy Spirit for demonic. And And so we got to be careful about it. You know, we can't always pin everything on Satan, but at the same time, we can't always explain away everything without him either. So this stuff is going on in our world, and God wants us to be aware of it. He wants our eyes open. You know, what's the scripture say? We don't wrestle with what? Flesh and blood. So every time there's always something going on. What's going on? And we got to say, hey, listen, Lord, this person isn't attacking me. There's something spiritual happening here too as well. And so let's look at what happens in verse 28. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and he fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you not to torture me." You know, the first thing that came to my mind when I read that was, you know you're messed up when your first response, when you connect with Jesus, is that he wants to hurt you instead of help you. You've got some serious problems if you think and believe that God is out to get us. And I want to tell you that no matter how screwed up we are, no matter how messed up we are, God's desire, even right now, if you know a Christian and they're in sin, we know how God feels about sin. But God's first desire is not to harm, hurt us, but to love us and to help us and to come alongside of us. He doesn't hate us. He loves us. He wants to strengthen us. This poor guy, when Jesus shows up, his first thought that's coming out of him through these demons is, don't torment me. Don't torture. And there's like this dual thing going on where these demons have gotten into this man so much, they've affected his thinking too. We're going to see that in a minute. Because he's out of his mind from all of this demonic influence in his life. And I think sometimes when we've got things going on, now obviously we're not possessed, we don't get possessed. But I think that sometimes when we're going through seasons where we are having problems, it's really easy to default and say, man, God, I can't even pray right now. Maybe I'm not talking to you. I'll just talk about me. There's times in my life where sometimes when I blow it, I'm like, I don't want to go to the Lord. Because I just feel like, you know, he's not going to listen. I feel like he's going to say, you know, this is the fourth time already. I feel like he's done. But that's not the Bible. That's not the gospel. The reason why people feel like that is because they don't know the gospel. And there's times where I got to remind myself too, hey, wait a second, that's of the devil. Jesus came to save me, to help me, to love me. And that veil has been torn to where we've got instant access through those gnarly thoughts, whether it's lust, whether it's dope, whether it's anger, whether it's homosexuality, whether it's addiction, whatever the case of it is, that we can go into the presence of God and we can go confidently and boldly. That's crazy. But it's reality with Jesus. And this guy's sitting there and he's worried that Jesus is going to tear him apart. John chapter 3, verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save the world through him. And so I want to encourage you guys, if you're in that season right now, maybe you've been backsliding this last week, maybe you're in that season today, I don't know, but I want you to turn to Jesus with faith that he's on your team, not in your sin, but to get you out of it. To give you life, to give you freedom, to break those chains that this man was wrapped up in for I don't know how long, the Bible doesn't say, but it was for a long time. And so Jesus shows up, and there's a perspective that's going on here from two different people, one from the disciples' perspective. Jesus used the storm they went through to reach this guy in his storm. When these guys just came out of all of what they went through with Jesus, they show up, and this guy has got his own storm, doesn't he? And you know what that told me? is that there's always going to be somebody else on the end of our storm that's going to need help in theirs. And we've got to be on the lookout for that. You know, there's people hurting right next door to you. There's people hurting right outside these doors. And you know what? God has been getting us through this season of COVID and all of this tension that we got in our lives. We've been going through the storm. But you know what? There's always somebody else on the other side of it that needs help going through their storms as well. I was thinking about Scott and Tammy when Vicky's dad came up, and he came up and he passed away in like 3 days. It was a horrible situation. And Scott and Tammy both, I mean, like many of us have lost parents. And man, they were there. They just came over. I remember Tammy came over and she just sat on the couch with us. She didn't have much to say. She just sat there. And you know what was good about that? Is sometimes when we're helping people through their storm, when God has helped us in ours, you know the best way to do it is just to be present. Just to hang out with people and say, you know what? I'm here. I don't have the answers. I can't fix everything. But I'm here if you want to pray. I'm here if you want to talk. I'm here to walk through it with you as God walked through it with me. And so there's a perspective there that we want to see through the lens of the disciples. When you go through a storm, look for somebody who's going through one now. Who's there in your life that God's put in your life? Is it your brother? Maybe it's your sister. Maybe it's a friend. There's somebody there that God wants you to walk with them as he's walked with you. And also, in verse 29, it says that, for Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man, and many times it seized him. And though he was chained hand and foot, and he was kept under guard, he had broken his chains, and he had been driven by the demons into solitary places. One of the things the devil wants you to do is to be alone. One of the things the devil wants for you is to separate from other people. One of the things that happens in isolation is the devil can work with your mind. He can cut you off from, and that's what happens when you're cut off from support, when you're cut off from fellowship, when you're cut off from worship, when you're cut off from communion with the saints. That's exactly what the devil wants. Is he wants you alone and isolated so he can devour us. That's why the scriptures tell us, do not stop meeting as some have gotten in the habit of doing.
Amen, brother.
We've got to keep it going. And in verse 30, it says that, Jesus asked him, what's your name? Legion, he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. Now, just side note, the abyss, it's like a jail cell holding tank. There, hell is not in existence at this particular point in life. Now, there is going to be a lake of fire, and we know that Jesus, in the end, he wins, and that's all we need to really know about that, but there is going to be a place where there's eternal judgment. And the Bible calls that the lake of fire, hell. It's hell. There is a hell. But until then, there's this abyss. And so they asked Jesus not for him to send them into this place. And so Jesus confronts the demons so that the man can be delivered. Now, this is kind of interesting, because did you guys notice that just before this, they called Jesus by name? Jesus, Son of the Most High God, and then here Jesus is asking them what their name is. Now, by the way, they give their number, not the name, when they say legion, because some of you that have been studying the word, you know that in a legion, that's 6,000 soldiers. Now, you know somebody is really messed up when you go and ask them their name, and they tell you 6,000 of us. And you're like, wait, what? No, I'm asking your name. I know. There's 6,000 in me. That's when you're like, rut-row, right? You're like, I'm out, Jesus. So they're given the number. But I want to tell you something interesting that's going on here with this play of names. See, the teaching was, back then, that if you knew somebody's name, then you could exercise authority over the one whom you knew. So when they say Jesus' name, there's a play here. They're posting up that perhaps they can control Jesus. You remember when Satan tested Jesus in the wilderness and he was trying to control the Lord and to bite on the bait? Well, right here, they're testing. When they cry out his name, this isn't necessarily about identification, but control over the Lord. These are crazy demons. And so what Jesus does, this is so cool, Jesus posts up and he asks them their name. And not because he's looking for information. He's looking to post up his authority in that I don't even need to know your name to say when you're out, you're out. Let me ask you guys a question. What is something you see every single day, but God will never see a day in his life? What? God sees fear. He's not fearful. He sees it. I'm going to give you the answer because you'll never figure it out. His equal. You know, every time we leave, we say, man, that guy's so tall. That girl's so short. That guy's so big. That guy's so small. You know why? Because we measure up and we can see equals and we judge ourselves by other people, right? You know what the one thing is that we see all the time that God will never see? It's his equal. Ever. So when Jesus says, who are you? This isn't because he needs to know their name, but they need to understand that they're on their way out. It's going to be like 2 seconds. I'm going to show you. They're out of here. And Jesus is like, I don't need to play your games. I don't need to know you. And so in verse 32, it says here, a large herd of pigs was feeding on the hillside. And the demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. And when the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down to the steep bank into the lake, and they were drowned. Now, I can't prove this, but I think the reason why Jesus let that happen was to show everybody else. This is what happens when you play with demonic stuff. Destruction. Check it out. And if we open up our eyes and we see what's happening in the world today, all we got to do is let them be our example. I don't want to go that way. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's showing them, listen, look at this. This is what they're about. And they go down and they drown. And I'll save you from the jokes of this is the first time that we see deviled ham. Right? Or suicide. Whatever. So it's preacher stuff. So anyways, verse 34, check it out. We're almost done. When those tending the pigs saw what happened, they ran off and they reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man who had demons that had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. I love that. Here's why. Because when Jesus saves us, he covers us and he puts us in our right mind. Man, do you guys remember all those years you were out of your mind? Crazy? And Jesus stepped in and gave you a new way of thinking, a new way of seeing. And how we used to have it so messed up and so wrong. This man had been his mind had been gone for years. He was living in shame. People were talking about this guy behind his back. There's that guy, the freak, the one who's all crazy. And Jesus gave his mind back to him. And I started thinking about how we think today. I was talking to a friend of mine, and we were talking about everything that has been going on lately. And I told him, I said, this is what I do. I wake up and I get in the Word of God because it's got to keep my mind straight. If I'm not in the Word, if I'm not hearing the Word, if I'm not standing next to Jesus, my mind is going to get crazy, church. I know you look at me and think I'm the pillar of sanity, but I will tell you this. I could go crazy in a New York minute if it wasn't for sticking next to Jesus, staying in His Word, getting my thought process right. And I want to encourage you guys, you need to be doing the same thing, stay in the Word. And so let's close out with this. Verse 36, this guy goes into full recovery, and then you got people mad at him. I never would have thought that you could do good and people would be mad about it. But these guys are wanting Jesus to bail. They want this guy to split. They don't want nothing to do with them. And here's why. Because they loved money more than mercy. Check out verse 36. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. And then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat. Now, by the way, they were overcome with fear of the loss of profit. Oh, there went my bank account. What am I going to do? And it says, the man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with Jesus. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. This guy has never been in church a day in his life. And it says, Jesus told him, go tell them what God has done for you, circle that. And he went and said all that Jesus had done for him. You know that Jesus is God. He is God in the flesh. And so Jesus, he goes all over town. So this man who was a maniac became a missionary. And that is so cool. And I want to leave you guys with this as we close this out this morning. Hey, let's turn our town upside down. What do you think about that? Yeah. Has God, you know, and I was thinking about how this guy went and he told everybody about what God had done for him. How many times do you hear people saying what God is going through with them right now? Now, look, I'm not saying that that's bad. I'm not saying, hey, you know, Jesus is seeing me through this issue and Jesus is seeing me through that issue. But what if we started telling people not what God is seeing us through, but what He's gotten us through? And we start telling people, listen, the reason why I can get through this today is because of what He's gotten me through yesterday and the day before and the day before and the day before. There's nothing wrong with you telling people, man, I'm really having a hard time, but thank God I got Jesus with me. There's nothing wrong with that. But do you know there's a big difference between telling people what you've already been through instead of what you're going through right now? That's your testimony. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And every one of us in here has got a testimony. I know most of you. And God has worked so powerful in your life, just like this guy's, that you've got the ability to turn this town upside down. Now listen, you don't got to go to Cambodia. You don't have to become a missionary overseas. You can be one right here in Newport. And so I want to leave you guys with this. I want you to pray about it. How can you turn this town upside down? And maybe you're here today and you're just like, man, I don't know. Like, I sharing my faith and stuff, I don't want to tell people how to live. I'm not asking you to tell people how to live. I'm telling you to tell them that you remember how we were talking about the storm you went through is preparing you to help somebody go through theirs now? This is our opportunity. Stand up, be a voice for what God's done in your life. And stand in the confidence of Jesus, just like the disciples were. They could have gotten the boat and bailed, yet they stayed right tight with Jesus. And church, we can do it. Worship team, come on up. Would you guys stand with me? We're going to close out in prayer this morning. and we're going to take communion. And I think, and I really do believe this, you guys, that it's so easy to complain about everything right now. So easy. It's easy to find the problems of what's not working and what's happening. But I want to challenge you today. Even now, let's just bow our heads. We're going to close in prayer. And I want you to just take a minute and ask God to put it on your heart to turn this town upside down, and that he's putting somebody in your heart right now that he wants you to be a testimony to, an example to, an encourager to. Is there somebody in your life that you know right now, close in the vicinity of your life? I mean, this person doesn't even have to be overseas. It could just be someone down the street or in your own house. That like this man, you can be an incredible example to this person. Maybe to reach out to him today and say, hey, I'm praying for you. That's it. Maybe it's just going over and sitting with him. Maybe it's asking him, hey, God laid you on my heart in church today. What can I help you through? And you know what? When we do that, that's how things get turned upside down and the wrongs become right. And so, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that, Lord, for those of us who've been asking you, show us that person. Let's start small. Just like this guy. He wanted to go and change the world. He wanted to go and plant churches all over the place with Jesus or whatever. And Lord, you told him, just go back home. Just go back home and be an example. Father, the people that you've shown in us this morning, may we step out in faith and confidence in you from all that you've gotten us through, and that we can be an example to those who are going through theirs right now, their storm right now. Lord, we love you. We thank you that what we've seen in this passage is that you literally went through hell, this gnarly storm, to get to this one guy on the other side. You knew it before you told the disciples to ever push out in that boat, that there was a man on the other side who was struggling, that was cut up, depressed, isolated, broken, destroyed by the enemy. And Lord, you crossed all of that to get to that one. And you know what? You not only did it for him, you did it for every one of us here today, God. You did that for every one of us here today. You got to us, Lord. You did it. Father, may we be that to those around us. And that we change our town, that we change it upside down for the glory of Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and maybe you're bound up, you got some messed up thinking, your heart's hard, I just want to encourage you, bring it to the Lord. Ask him to break those chains of bondage, of addiction, of lust, of anger, of pride, whatever it is, whatever you're going through today, that's been trying to tear you apart, loneliness, isolation, that right now in Jesus' name, that you ask the Lord to come into your heart and to fill you up and to give you life there. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask that you forgive us of our sins. We ask that you come into our life, come into our heart, set yourself up as king, rule and reign over us, Lord, that you make the decisions, that you call the shots, Lord, that you give me life and life abundant. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen.